Father. We come humbly before the Word of God. We're so grateful, so thankful for all that You've given us, for all that You've done for us. Now, Father, there are people here that are going through things in different circumstances, different situations, different seasons of life. And, Father, I wouldn't know what to say that would be a blessing. I wouldn't know what to say that would help them. But, Father, You do. So, Lord, I yield to You tonight, and I thank You as I open my mouth, You'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I will speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. When I open my mouth, bullseyes are going to be hitting people's heart tonight. You're going to say things through me that are going to strike a chord with every single person here. So much so that they're going to think to themselves, how did he know I needed to hear that? How did he know to say that? And the truth is, I didn't, but Father, You do. So we give You the praise. We look to You tonight. Father, we thank You for utterance. We thank You for boldness. We thank You from words straight from the throne room of God. And we give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Matthew 24 and verse 13 is where we're going to start. I'm just warning you, get ready to walk out of here different. So if you really like the way you came in, you better leave now because you're not leaving the same. Praise God. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. You know, if Jesus is here, he brings impact and change. Well, if you're in a place where you're having church and the word's going forth and there's no impact and change, Jesus ain't there. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. He's where the hungry people are. Praise God. And so we're hungry tonight. But in Matthew 24 and verse 13, it says this. It says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, this verse is in context talking about the end times, which is not what I'm going to talk about here tonight. But I'm going to show you a scripture in a second. That verse talking about enduring to the end, being saved, is not just including the end times. Amen. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, that word saved there is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And that doesn't just mean a salvation, a spiritual salvation. It's a preservedness, a wholeness, a wellness, a healing, a prosperity. God's an all-encompassing salvation. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, that same word's used in Romans 10:13. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be sozo or saved. Well, that certainly does apply spiritually to be born again. But if you call on the name of the Lord when you're sick, you'll be saved. You call on the name of the Lord when you're broke, you'll be saved. You call on the name of the Lord when you're stressed and anxious and depressed, you'll be saved. And so it gives us a principle here in Matthew 24. It says that we need to endure to the end to reach that salvation or that saving. You could say it this way. There's a starting point and an ending point to receiving your healing. To get to that ending point of healing manifesting, you got to endure. To get to that ending point of walking into that prosperity, you got to endure. Basically, to get to any victory because how many of you know the Word says some things, but then sometimes our life doesn't look like the Word because we're challenged or opposition comes against us, and that's what God has given us the Word for, telling us what belongs to us and what we can have, and we use a thing called faith, which we're going to talk about tonight, but you got to endure to the end to walk into that blessing or to cross that finish line. There's going to be some endurance. Now, that word endurance, in the Greek, listen to what that word means. It means to preserve. That word preserve means to maintain in an existing state. Now, that's going to make more sense to you here in a second, but it means to endure, to preserve or maintain in an existing state under misfortunes and trials. So it's telling you, don't change. Don't change in the middle of your trial. Why? If you change, that's not enduring. You won't be sozoed. Saved at the end. Say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, go with me now to Galatians 6 and verse 9. It tells us almost the same thing, just in different words. Galatians 6 and verse 9. You got to endure. You got to preserve. You got to maintain an existing state under misfortune and trials. Now, I'm going to tell you what that state is, or that state that needs to be preserved and not changed here in a second. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 9, look what the Apostle Paul said. Let us not be weary. You know what weary means? To faint, to be weak, to be exhausted. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, notice what he says in the end here. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But I want to show you here, God desires that you reap. If you're sick, God desires you reap healing. If you're mental, you're having problems in your mentally and emotionally, He desires that you reap that peace. If finances are your problem, He desires that you reap. If you're going through problems with your children and they're in hell on earth there, He desires that you reap. That's God. All the promises of God are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 tells us that. Praise God. He's a good father. But it says, don't be weary in well-doing. Now, what's well-doing? Well, what did Paul call faith? He called it the good fight of faith. And we're going to talk about faith here in a second, but He says, in due season you'll reap. You'll get to the finish line if you faint not. Now, it's interesting. I'm not much of a scholar, but man, I got my study hat on today. And you know what that word faint means? To dissolve. You ever stick a Smartie in your mouth or a gobstopper or a, I don't know. What kind of candy do you eat? And you stick it in there, you know, or a Tic Tac. How many of you know that thing doesn't preserve? That thing doesn't maintain the state that it's in. It dissolves. It gets weaker. It gets less. And it goes away. Now, He said that if you want to receive the end of what you're believing for, you have to endure. You have to stay preserved. You have to not change, stay in an existing state under trials and misfortunes. Now, He's telling you here, you'll reap if you faint not. Well, if He's telling you not to faint, that means there's going to be some opportunities to faint. Well, why would you faint? You wouldn't faint if everything was good and easy. You don't faint when the conditions are perfect. You faint when the conditions are tough, when things are being pushed against you. Oh, I don't know, maybe maintaining an existing state under misfortunes and trials. What do the misfortunes and trials do? Try to get you to faint. But He says you can't faint. You got to stay the way you are. Now, what state are we talking in of staying? We're talking about staying in a place of faith. Amen. He said, don't faint. You'll receive. Now, so we're talking about opportunities to faint in our faith journey. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen one time. I'm only 40 years old, so I know I haven't seen a whole lot, but I've seen 40 years of some things. I've yet to see in a marathon, 26.2 miles, I've yet to see anybody faint at the starting line. Oh, I'm so tired. Take off the first 30 yards. Oh, I just can't do this anymore. No, that's not when you see people start dropping out. That's not when you see people start to struggle. As the miles go, as the hills go, as it gets longer and longer, people fall out, people get slower, people start struggling, people, right? I mean, you see people fall right out of the race, people fall right down that need help. I've never seen that at the starting line. So when it comes to faith, what I'm trying to tell you is, if Pastor Mike preaches on healing, like I told that gentleman in South Dayton, I gave him a bunch of healing scriptures. The church he grew up in and came from, they didn't teach on divine healing. Oh, don't make me start talking about that, because the Bible says if you don't know, you'll be destroyed. Oh, yeah. You got to go where they're teaching the word. You got to go where they're teaching the word, telling you how to be healed, how to be free, how to be blessed, praise God. Hey, man, we're not just playing church. Jesus said if you know the truth, it'll set you free. He didn't say because there's truth, you'll be set free. There is truth. Truth is already here. He didn't say because there's truth, you'll be set free. He said if you know the truth. So you better get in a place of knowing some things. And that's what I was telling that guy, because you see in Jesus' ministry, the majority of the people that got healed, Jesus said it was because of their faith. I know religion wants to tell you it was big, bad, powerful Jesus that just swooped in and no. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. How many times did He attribute to somebody who said, your faith made you whole. Your faith did this. Well, you can't have faith unless you have knowledge. And so that gentleman, that Vern Chelka there, I pulled him in the office, prayed and said, God's going to do it. But then I sent him scriptures. Why? Get his faith built up. Why? Because there's going to be some tests in his body. There's going to be some misfortunes. But to get to the end, we can't change. And if I teach him on healing and teach him about what God will do and fire him up, I'll tell you, you ever need a pep talk, give me a call, I'll give you one. Amen. You'll feel like you run through the wall and take on the devil and all his demons. I'll do it. And I'd give him a pep talk. I told him, God's bigger than this, Vern. God's mightier than this. Cancer's just a name, sir. God's much bigger. Nothing's too hard for him. Well, he's fired up. He's full of faith after that conversation. I read him the verses. He's full of faith. But that's the starting line. Nobody faints at the starting line. But when you wake up a week later and the symptoms are talking to you, you wake up a month later and the symptoms are still there, or maybe they've gone even worse than they were at the starting line, that's when the opportunity is going to be to faint. But the word says that if you endure, which is what? Maintain an existing state. What's the state you need to maintain? A state of faith through the whole race, the whole trial. You get fired up, you hear the word, bam, you release your faith, you just went through the starting line. Easy to keep going then. But what about when 3 months go by and nothing happens? What about when a year goes by and it hasn't turned like you thought it was going to turn? No, no, no. If you faint not, the word says you will reap. In due season. Amen. I mean, there's times that winter's so bad around here that it feels like it ain't ever changing, but it changes, and then we all complain about how hot it is. I've stopped complaining about how hot it is because I hate the winter so much now. Amen. But it seems like it's never going to thaw. We're never going to have change. And it changes, just a season, in due season. It might be a season for it. It might be a long season for it, but it's changing. If you won't faint. Now, if you faint, I can't help you because the word says you can't faint. Well, I want to help you tonight. You want me to help with this tonight? Because I'm going to talk to you tonight about an area, and I set this out on the slick text, where victories are won and victories are lost in this state that we need to maintain. Praise God. Here we go. So to be successful in faith, you have to endure. Go with me to John chapter 4 and verse 46. John chapter 4 and verse 46. We're going to look at an account where Jesus healed a man. And we're going to learn some things tonight that are going to help us going forward. Because I'm guessing that all of us either have a faith race that we need to start running, whether it's our money, our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our kids, our own health, our businesses, whatever it is, the devil's working hard, overtime, circumstances, situations, things need to turn for us, things need to change for us. Well, the Bible says the change is going to come through faith. See, it does say that, Pastor Mike. Well, that's what Jesus said in Mark 9:23. If you can believe, what's that mean? If you can have faith, all things are possible. What's that mean? That sickness turned into health is possible if you can believe. Not it's not up to him. He doesn't have a problem with the faith. Amen. That financial thing, that thing in your family, that thing in your mind, that thing in your body, that thing in your job, whatever it is, that can change. It's possible if you'll believe. But the whole faith process to getting from the starting point of faith, when you release your faith to the end, there's a big fat middle piece there. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to help you tonight. The word's going to help you. It's going to come through me, but the word's going to help you. So let's look at some things. John chapter 4 and verse 46. Look at what it says here. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee. Now that should ring a bell to you, because what happened in Cana of Galilee? That was where Jesus did his first miracle. At the wedding. So now he's coming back there. So Jesus went again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So this guy's got a sick child. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. What's he saying? Jesus, you got to come to my house. My son's about to die. I need you to come to my house. Then Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. That just means before my child die. Jesus just got done saying, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. And he says, sir, you need to come down before my child dies. We don't have time for this. I need you. Now look at what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way, and he was now going down. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Now, in the next part, I'll point it out to you, but I want you to see the time frame here. Then inquired he, the dad, of them that were with the son, the servants that came to meet him, the hour which he began to amend. And I'll talk about that word too. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So he doesn't meet his servants until the following day. And he said, this happened yesterday at 7. So this guy evidently has quite a journey to get back home. Amen? He's not just hopping in his car. He's walking, taking a horse, however they did it back then, but it took him a while. And it says, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus had said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, I want, through this story, to help you with things concerning your faith. We're going to look at some things and apply it to our own lives, and it'll be a great blessing to you to get from the starting line to the finish line of whatever it is you're believing God for. Are you ready for your life to be changed? Number one, are you ready? I even made numbers on this one. I mean, I made it easy for you to take notes. Number one, faith has a partner. And faith doesn't go anywhere without its partner. Faith's partner is patience. Okay? Now, you say, well, what about in this story? Well, first of all, go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hold your place here because we're going to come back here. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Look what the Word of God says here. It says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, we know it comes through faith. How'd you get saved? Through faith. Grace was what saved you, but grace flowed through faith. Remember that says that over there in Ephesians 2 and verse 8? For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. You didn't get saved except Jesus automatically. Salvation didn't fall on your head like a ripe cherry off a cherry tree. No, you heard the word, had faith, and believed God for it. Well, look what it says here. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and something else. Patience. What happens when you go through faith and patience? You inherit the promises. But notice what the avenue that the promises flow through are. Faith and patience. Hallelujah. Now, this is what I want to show you. If you go back to John chapter 4, and let's see what verse I want to look at here. John chapter 4, in verse 52. This will help you. Then inquired he of them, the dads inquired of the servants, when he began to amend. Everybody say amend. Would you pull that up in the Amplified? The Amplified is the original Greek, the original Hebrew. Look what it says here. So they asked him at what time he begun to get better. Begun to get better. Amend means you're on the, ever heard them say this, the saying, you're on the mend? Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why am I pointing this out to you? This was not an instantaneous healing. Things started at a certain place. He begun to get better. But how many of you know, we just read that faith is includes patience. Faith was never meant to be an overnight thing where it just happens. If it were, that wouldn't be faith. He began to amend. He began to get better. Now, what's interesting about this, if you go down to verse 54, this again, the second miracle. He called it a miracle. We think of miracles as someone comes up that's in a wheelchair and bam, they get out of their wheelchair right then and there. That's a miracle. Not according to the word. I mean, that's a miracle, but that's not the only kind of miracle. The Bible says his fever left him. He begun to get on the mend and get better. It didn't happen all of a sudden. They had to keep that switch of faith turned on to get to the end there. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth, praise God. This was a miracle and it didn't happen right away. Now, Hebrews 6:12 says you're going to receive your promises through faith and patience. If you don't renew your mind to that, you'll never make it. And I'll tell you what, if you don't renew your mind to the Bible, the devil will eat your lunch. Why? Because he works in the mental arena. That's the only arena he can work in. He can't just kill you. If he could, why wouldn't he? He can't do that. He can't just swoop in and do whatever he wants. No, no, no. He's got to work through this just the same way he deceived Adam and Eve through their mind. Same way he tried to get Jesus in Luke chapter 4. He talked to him. How's he going to try to get you? You know, we preached on thoughts a couple weeks ago. How's he going to try to get you? He's going to talk to your mind, tell you things, try to get you to take it, hook, line, and sinker. Don't do it. If you don't renew your mind, I'm going to tell you why here right now. That patience is included with faith. The devil will mess you up when you wake up a week later and nothing's changed. Because you can't change. You get excited at the starting line. You get fired up. Everybody's ready to run through that starting gate. Wow, I heard about healing. I can be healed. Wow, I heard I can be free. And you're fired up to go through that gate. I believe the word. I see the word. I release my faith for the word. And bam, 6 months later, I wake up and nothing's changed. And if you don't renew your mind, that patience is a part of it. The devil will start talking to you, start telling you, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. It's not going to work for you. It didn't work for you. It's not changing. And all of a sudden you think, well, you know, it has been this amount of time. And then what? Your faith will go from where it was at the starting line, which what? When you heard the word in the starting line, you were ready. Weren't you? You heard, wow, Pastor Mike said, God wants to meet my needs financially. I'm in financial hell on earth, but there's a way out now. Pastor Mike showed me there's a way out. And you're at the starting line. You walk out of here, you get down on your knees at home, and you release your faith. I mean, you are fired up. Amen. And then the paycheck comes in. It's not enough to meet your bills. Are you still fired up? Because the Bible says you have to endure. You have to stay in that same state. What state? Of faith. Why? Because if you faint, you'll reap not. And so many people, that the time factor wears them down. And they were confessing, and they were full of fire and full of spunk at that starting line. And now it's been time. It's like, I guess, I don't know, this must not be for me. You fainted, and you won't reap. You better renew your mind. That patience is a part of it. The devil will tell you you're doing all sorts of things wrong. The devil will tell you you're the problem. Just tell him to shut up. Just say, Mr. Devil, put the shut to the up. I mean, just combine those two, devil. Combine them, the shut to the up. Praise God. Hallelujah. You better renew your mind to this. You better know that when I release my faith, yeah, I went through the starting line, but I just stepped into the realm of patience. I just stepped into that realm. Now, that's why I said at the beginning, it says that you... Let me go back to this. It says to maintain, to preserve in an existing state. He says to stay the same way under misfortunes and trials. When a tic-tac gets into my mouth, that's misfortune for the tic-tac. If the tic-tac, you know, was alive and it could talk. It gets under a trial there in my mouth, and what happens? It doesn't stay preserved. It doesn't stay in its existing state. Why? Elements, heat and moisture hit that tic-tac and it can't stand up to it and it goes away. Well, what happens to you? You're at the starting line, you release your faith, you've now stepped into the trial, the misfortunes of the thoughts coming against you, the symptoms not leaving, the money staying the same, your kids don't look like they're turning around. You know what I'm talking about. And in that place, if your mind's not renewed to faith, as patience or go together, it'll eat you alive, because you'll think, it didn't happen automatically for Jesus either. I could go to other places in the Word, but we don't need to exhaust the whole thing here tonight. Jesus said, your son liveth, and he did. But he didn't say your son was completely perfect at that time, and he wasn't. He began to get better. But he's on the road there. Praise God, he's on the road there. Well, number two, are you ready for number two? When you're in that patience realm, that's when you've gone through the starting line, there will be nothing that you'll be able to grab onto in the natural that will tell you your promise is coming. If there was anything you could see or touch, it wouldn't be faith. Why? Faith is not of the seen realm. Amen? So let me say that again. When you've stepped into patience, which is an unspecified amount of time, the Bible says there'll be nothing that you can grab onto. You know what I mean by grab onto? You know, it's kind of like you're going through a financial test or trial, and a family member has said, hey, in 2 weeks I'm going to give you this amount of money. That's something you can grab onto. that's a light at the end of the tunnel that, okay, the problem I'm going through, there's something for me to grab onto. No, when you're in true faith, well, go with me. Because there's things at times, how many of you know there's things at times where the natural gives us no evidence that things are going to be different. Where the natural actually, the natural testifies that it's never going to change. And the natural will tell you because it's been this long, and the natural will tell you because there's no cure for this, and there's no medicine, and the natural will tell you because your checkbook and your pay stub doesn't equal, and all the facts will be there. Yeah. Praise God. In the book of Numbers, chapter 12, God told the children of Israel after they came out of, they had their great exodus out of Egypt. He said, now I got a promised land for you. He says, go take 12 spies and go look at the land I've given you. Well, 10 of them went, including two other ones, Caleb and Joshua, and they went. And what'd they do? They came back and reported the facts. And what were the facts? There's a wall there. There's cities there. There's already people there. It's already inhabited. The facts said, this isn't yours. You're never going to get it. That's what the facts said. But Caleb and Joshua, they had a different attitude, didn't they? They said, oh, we're well able to overcome this. But notice the people that didn't have that attitude, they got kept out. God didn't just say, oh, just go in, I feel bad for you. Nope. If you faint, you won't reap. Can you imagine when God said to them, I got a promised land for you, and they're at the starting line? Oh, they're fired up. Ooh, we're fired up. Send the spies in. I can't wait to hear it. And they come back and say, oh, it's a good land. It flows with milk and honey. They're like, ooh, that sounds good. And then they started saying, but there's walls and there's people and there's cities and there's fortresses and there's already people there inhabiting it. And they're like, we're like grasshoppers compared to how big they are. Well, where did all of a sudden the, woohoo, God said we can have it. Let's go. No, they fainted. And guess what? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Don't tell me that God will just do anything he can without your faith. He can't. He didn't just step aside and say, you know, you've been through so much oppression in Egypt. It's time for you to get a little reprieve. Nope. He said, you don't give me faith. I have nothing to work with. I'm a God that keeps my word. I need faith. You're not going to be in faith. I'm sorry, you're not getting in. Why? Because it takes faith to get in and pass the opposition. And they fainted. They were fired up. They had a state of faith at the beginning. And then circumstances come, tests and trials come, and they began to faint, began to fade away. Happens to so many of us. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, is that where I said to go? If I didn't go there, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. So what am I saying? God promised them something, but the natural testified, you're crazy, God. God promised Abraham a son when he was 100 years old. You know what the natural said? You're crazy, God. Nothing in the natural for Abraham to grab onto and say, there's a baby coming. There was nothing. Sarah's womb was dead, the Bible says. She was 90. Abraham was as good as dead, the Bible said, being about 100 years old. There was nothing to grab onto that said, yes, a baby's coming. There was no evidence. The natural in the promised land showed no evidence. You're not getting in. Praise God. It's the truth. What are you facing right now? You're believing for money, you're believing for change, you're believing for deliverance, and there's nothing to point to. That's okay. That's okay. You've entered into the faith realm, the realm where things get done, the realm where things change, the realm where mountains move, the realm where victory is birthed, praise God. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, now faith, we're talking about faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you're in true Bible faith, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no rumor of it changing. In fact, it testifies it's never going to change. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. See, what's happened is a lot of people start believing the report. See, the promised land reported some things. You're not getting in. You've been in oppression all your life, and now God's leading you out to be in oppression again. You're not getting in. And I know what the natural's telling you. It's been this many years. Things are getting worse and worse. Things aren't even turning around. I know what the natural's telling you. What are you going to believe? Don't start believing that report. Amen. I want to tell you, Think about this now. The Bible says that that man, Jesus said, go back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. See, I kept my little black thingy there to help me get there quicker. John chapter 4. You need a little black thingy there to keep you to help get back to where you're going. But John chapter 4. The Bible says that he went his way. Jesus didn't go to his house. He went his way, and the Bible said it wasn't till the next day that people from his house, he didn't even get to his house yet to see his son, that people from his house came and met him. Can you imagine? Now, his son's at the point of death, and Jesus said, just go your way, your son lives. Can you imagine walking on that lonely road with no text message from the wife telling you it's getting better? His fever left the minute Jesus said something that says he began to get better then, but there was no email, no text message, no cell phone. He's walking without any knowledge that anything's changing. What? He's walking with no evidence in the natural that things have changed. Can you imagine what the devil would have been telling him? He wouldn't even come to your house. You weren't worthy to come to your house. He didn't even touch your child. He didn't, the power of the time. He just spoke words. You can imagine. Oh, you get there, your son's going to pay for this. Oh, your son's not even. You can imagine what he says. You know what you're being told right now in your own life. The devil's magnifying what you can see, what you can touch, and what you can feel. He's magnifying it. He's putting the magnifying glass on those symptoms. He's putting the magnifying glass on how long it's been. He's putting the magnifying and shining a big spotlight on what your checkbook says and what your boss says. Why? Trying to make that so big to you to believe it. And you can imagine what the devil was doing to this man on the way home. It's not changing. It's not going to change. It's not going to change. And the whole time he just kept going in faith. He didn't run back to Jesus. Yeah. Oh, sir, please come to my house. No, he just kept going. Kept going. Now, here's what I want you to see in John chapter 4. It says, verse 50, John chapter 4 and verse 50, Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son liveth. Now, for him to turn around and to go his way, what does that show you? That he believed his son was going to be okay. Now, he didn't have a text message. He didn't have a FaceTime. Hey, show me him. He didn't have his son's voice on the other end. What am I saying to you? What does faith do when you enter that patient's realm? There's nothing in the natural. In fact, it might testify against what you're going to do. Go your way, your son liveth. And the man, believed the word. That's it. That Jesus spoke to him and he went his way. The only thing, and when I say only thing, it's the greatest thing. But it is still the only thing. Because you can look at only as being not that great, or you could look at it as just being the only thing. And that's the way I want to look at it, because I'm not belittling what he had. But the only thing he had was an unseen thing. The only thing that he had to grab onto that made him, after he told Jesus, my son's dying, Jesus said, go, he lives. Well, he didn't see anything, he didn't hear anything, didn't have any reports, had no natural proof. But he turned and went home in full expectation that his son was going to be okay. Why? He believed the word. The only thing he had, believed the word. What did it say about Abraham in that promise? He said, for he became fully persuaded, convinced that what God said he would do, he would do. Sarah didn't all of a sudden turn into a younger woman with a womb that was alive. Abraham didn't all of a sudden go back 40, 50 years. No, he was still almost 100. She was still 90 years old. Her womb was still dead. His body was still dead. But yet he believed. The Bible says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Father, I praise you. Son's coming. Father, I thank you. Son's coming. Sarah, get the nursery ready. The baby's coming. What did he have to grab onto? Only that God said, I'll do it. Nothing in the natural. Why? We walk by faith, not sight. Faith is the evidence of things that you can't see. You better get these principles in you. Because that this patience realm, the battle's not lost at the starting line. The starting line is when everyone is full of faith, full of fire. The battle's lost and the fainting takes place. And the fumbling of faith, you could say, is when you step into that realm of patience and nothing's changing. And if it is changing, it could be changing for the worse. Hallelujah. I tell this story all the time. Until something bigger happens to me, I'll keep telling it. Amen. But when I started the South Dayton Church 9 years ago, Lord told me, I started that in September of 2010. The Lord told me I was going to start it in August of 2009. He said, in the next year, you'll start a church. Well, as it got closer and closer, Court was pregnant, and that was 2010. We started that, and Caleb, she was pregnant with Caleb. His due date was June 10th, 2010. She had him on June 11th, so we had a baby June 11th, and right around that time, Lord told me to quit my full-time job. He said, she keep her job, you quit your full-time job, and you stay home with Caleb. I didn't know anything about being a stay-at-home dad. I didn't know anything about kids. And he said, you stay home, and when she gets home from work and takes over from the baby, you're going to pastor the church. Well, I got into my mind, because I went out and started applying for third shift jobs. And the reason I did that is because by quitting my job, it put me $1,200 short every single month. And that was just bills coming in the mail. It added up to $1,200. That didn't include groceries. That didn't include gas. And that didn't include miscellaneous things for a baby. If you've had a baby, you learn they're expensive. And in a two-year time frame, it averaged out to be about $2,000 short every single month. And the Lord told me, don't you get a third shift job. If you do, it'll hurt the church. All I want to do is fulfill God's plan. I don't want to hurt the church. So I said, okay. He said, all things are possible to him that believes. I better start believing, because I wasn't in faith at first. I was scared. I was nervous, I begged my pastor for a salary. I said, guy sang him my sad song, and he said, nope, not doing it. It'll ruin you. You got to learn faith. I'm so glad he did. I wouldn't have this testimony now. Amen. A lot of people would have been offended at him and said, how dare you? No, I just trust my man of God. He never led me wrong, and I believed him, and he was right. It helped me, and I preach this all the time, But my point was, every single month, the calendar would flip to a new month. We just flipped to August. Well, back then, when it flipped to August, all my July bills were paid for. But now I've been to August, and guess what? The $1,200 is coming in the mail again. And I'm not allowed to go get an extra job. And my salary from the church for about 2 years, I started to get a little bit towards the end there. I started to get, if there was $50 left over after the bills were paid, I'd get it. But we averaged in 2 years, $2,000 short every single month. 1 month we'd hit it, and the next month we're facing it again. And there was each month nothing to grab onto. We never announced it to the church, never told anybody. Listen, when you're in faith, you don't have to drop faith hints. Let everyone know how bad it is and how tough it is. No, God, you're either real or you're not. I'm going to prove it. You're either real or you're not. And so, nothing to grab onto except Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, what'd Pastor Mike do? Well, every time I fed that little baby boy, he's so chunky, I fed him a lot. Every time I'd feed him, I'd release my faith. We know that by learning faith, faith is released through the mouth. It's believed in the heart, released through the mouth. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. By your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. Death and life's in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Got to say some things. It's released through faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according to it is written, I have believed, therefore I spoke. You believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, where faith is, the mouth will speak. So you got to say some things. So I said some things. And I got so full of faith. I listened. How do you get faith? You hear the word. You can't pray for faith. You hear the word. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing the word. If you're going through something and you say, I don't believe, you need more word. Right. Well, I didn't believe. I didn't believe that God could do $2,000 a month with nothing to pull it out of thin air. I didn't believe it. So you know what I did? I turned my car into a Bible school. I turned my house into a Bible school. And I started listening to all the messages I could find on prosperity and God's provision. Prosperity and God's provision. All the scriptures I kept going to were prosperity and God's provision. You know what started to happen? The word worked. Amen. Romans 10:17 happened. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith rose up on the inside of me, and I was at that start, and I said, let's go, bring it on. And every month I would confess, every day, feeding that baby, I'd say, Father, I thank you according to Philippians 4:19. That's all I have to grab onto. You said it would happen. You didn't say it would happen according to Courtney's salary, according to my lack of salary. You said according to your riches and glory, you'd meet my needs. So it doesn't matter that I don't have a salary. It doesn't matter that her salary makes us $2,000 short every month. All that matters is you said it. Amen. Amen. And I said, Father, I thank you. Every bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you for a salary. I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. In 2 years, she has a book about this thick of testimonies of miracle financial things that happened during that time. Still never told anybody about it. I tell it all the time. Now, why? Because I'm not $2,000 short every month. I'm not looking for a handout. If I'd have been saying it back then, I've been looking for a handout. God's my provider. And in 2 years, we never missed a payment one time. We're never late one time. Never were. And not only did we pay off $2,000 every month, I was confessing for supernatural debt payoff. Why? I saw somebody else get it in the Word, and if they got it, I want it. You need supernatural debt payoff? All you got to do is find an example, find out what the Word says. And if he does it and says it, yeah, jump in, take it. I did. I confess for supernatural debt payoff, and in 2 years, being $2,000 short every single month, we didn't just pay our bills on time all the time, every single time. We paid off $60,000 worth of debt, and that's a true story. So, well, that's just because you're a pastor. Oh, so God loves the pastors more than his other children. No, pastor had nothing to do with it. Amen. You all know I still got to get the Word in me just as much as you got to get the Word in you. I still got to walk in love as much as you got to walk in love. I still got to use my faith. Praise God. So all he had was the Word. Find the Word. It might be all you have. And last but not least, are you ready? There's a time frame that we're talking about here with faith from the starting point. But I'm going to tell you that, going to show you that only this part of time should concern you. That's kind of a weird number three to put that in your, maybe you have to fill it in the end. But only this part of time should concern you. Mark 11:24. Because there's time frame. We're talking about time frame. The time frame from what? The time you release your faith, go through the starting line, enter into patience, to the time you go through the finish line and receive your manifestation. Amen? Mark 11:24. Look what Jesus said. Therefore I say unto you, we call this the prayer of faith, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. How many of you know when you pray is a time frame? That's a time frame. We're talking about time frames now. Because remember, I said only one part of time should concern you. In this verse, it talks about two different time frames. It says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. What's the "and you'll have them"? A different time. Because, think about it, if you're praying for finances, we just talked about faith is patience. You can release your faith for your finances now, go home and log into your bank account, and nothing's going to have changed from the time you left here. So the time that you get it from the time you release is a different point in time. Two different times here. Now, there's one part of time here that you need to be concerned about. And Christians, unfortunately, are in the wrong mindset of the frame of time that they're focusing on. You are not supposed to concern yourself with the when it shows up. The when it shows up is not your job. You can't make it show up. If you could, you wouldn't wait the patience. You just make it happen now. If it was up to you and make it show up, you'd pray for your healing. You'd do what you have to do on your end, and you'd receive it 5 minutes later, or finances, or for your children, or your business. But most Christians get caught up in, when's it going to happen? Oh, why hasn't it happened yet? What's been this long? Why are you even in that realm? It's the wrong realm to be in. It's called the time trap, ladies and gentlemen. Time will trap you. If you already renew your mind that faith is the answer, God's word doesn't lie, it'll come to pass for you. That's not the question. See, the time will make you think, oh, it ain't going to come to pass, it ain't going to come to pass. Stop worrying about his job. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Why isn't it showing up? I can't believe it's taking this long. You know what that does to your faith? Causes you to faint. Your job's not to focus on that time frame. That's up to him when it happens. Hallelujah. But you do have a job here to focus on a certain time. Mark 11:24 tells you the time frame you're to be concerned with. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire. Whatsoever things you desire. Well, that could be healing, that could be prosperity, that could be deliverance, that could be whatever. He says, whatsoever things you desire. Notice this. When you pray. Now, what about when you pray? Well, it tells you to do something when you pray. When you pray, believe you receive. What's it telling you to do? Walk in faith. To believe you got it before you have it. Right? Because he said, if you pray and believe you receive when you pray. Well, when you're praying is when the money's a mess. When you're praying is when your children are a mess. Your finances are a mess. Your health's a mess. Your situation's a mess. Remember the no evidence? But he tells you the way I do it, the Lord says, is when you pray, you are to believe when you pray, when times are their worst, that's why you're praying. You're to believe at that time, I got it. And if you can't get to that place, you'll never get to the getting of it. See, you're not worried about time frame and getting way down. So here's the place you released your faith. You're way down on the time frame. Who knows how far? You're not worried about, oh my gosh, it's been so long. When's it going to come? No, because you already received it when you prayed. That's what he says and how to do it. You got to play by his rules, people. They're called the faith rules. Amen. You got to believe it from that moment. That's why I believe we've done ourselves a disservice and just thinking things are automatically going to happen super fast. That's not how it works. There's patience. There's a time frame that goes by. That's why people, I'll call for healing. People will come up, lay hands on them, pray, believe, ask God, power God to go through them. And it does. God does what he says he'll do. And they walk back and check their body. No, nothing's changed. They wake up in the morning, oh, nothing's changed. I guess I didn't get it. Well, he didn't say that it would happen instantaneously. Never said that. Never said that in the Word. I don't know why we get this thought in our head. I believe we just believe what the devil says. He never said it'll happen instantaneously. And people walk out of here. Margaret's a great example of doing what you're supposed to do. From the time we released our faith, Margaret, and I prayed for you, and we released our faith and commanded that thing to go in that heart to get better, how long was it until the manifestation? Months? Months. Months. You know what that means? That means doctor's appointments of them putting the stethoscope on her heart, and the doctor can't hear it because her heart's irregular, and for 40 years they've had trouble hearing her heart. But yet, she remembers Pastor Mike laying hands on her, and she released her faith. But now the doctor's, the natural's testifying, not going to get it, not going to get it, not going to get it, not going to get it. And what is she doing? Father, I thank you, I'm healed. I thank you, I'm healed. I thank you. What is she doing? Not fainting. Not fainting. Months go by, and the manifestation hits. Well, he said, if you'll believe when it was prayed. Well, guess what Margaret did when she was up there, and I laid hands on her, and we prayed? She believed it then. It didn't matter that months went by. I already got it. I already got it. You are to believe when hands are laid on you that when you release that faith, that situation is done, that situation is changed, that money is mine, that healing is mine, that situation's turned, my kids are delivered, whatever you need. When you pray, I'm going to close and just tell you this. You know, when I had my appendix rupture, again, when I think of a better healing testimony concerning myself, I'll tell it to you. But my appendix ruptured a few years back, and I didn't know that it had ruptured, and I waited 3 days, and the poison went through my body, and I was in the hospital normally for an appendectomy a day or two, you know. I was in the hospital for over 2 weeks. The poison went through my body. The doctor couldn't believe I died. He brought me my appendix later and showed me it like I knew what a good or bad appendix would look like. He said, this is the worst appendix I've ever seen. He told my family, I don't know how he's still alive. That's how bad it was. Well, because I had waited so long, the poison got in there, I was going through some things in my body. And they told me that there's things, because you waited so long, now your body's a certain way that you'll never recover from. And there's some things in your body that's going to take at least a year for them to start to get better. That's what the professionals told me. And how many of you know? They only know what they know. They're smart. That's what the reports are saying. That's what the doctor's reports say. And okay, that's what they're saying. And I'll tell you what, the devil jumped on those coattails. Because when you're laying there immobile in bed, and you just move a little bit, and it's the most excruciating pain ever, it's tough to see past what the doctors are saying. Amen? But, you know, Pastor Mike's a stubborn little guy, you know. Faith has actions behind it. So I was texting Grandma Alice from the South Dayton Church, you know, she was a nurse at the time. And you got to watch her, man. I mean, she's probably listening right now. You got to watch out for Grandma Alice, you know. She'll get you. But I was texting her, you know. She still has some of those texts when I first came out of surgery. She says, I'm holding them for ransom for you to use against you someday. I was kind of talking a little loopy, you know, with all the drugs they gave me. But I said, Grandma Alice, they got me on a bed alarm because I'm not allowed to move. I said, it could hurt my body if I move. They got my legs hooked up. If I try to get out of bed, the alarm's going to go off. I said, you got to teach me how to turn this thing off. She did. She taught me how to do it, and I did. I got out of bed with that IV cart, and I could hardly move. I mean, tears, this is literal, tears are going down my face. And I'm saying, Father, I know what my body's saying, and I know what the doctors are saying. But Lord, even though I can't see it and I can't feel it, I know what you have said in your word. And you said in Psalms 103, verse 3, I'm just telling you what I did. And I'm walking so quietly, I don't want them to know. Father, you said in Psalms 103, verse 3, you'll heal all my diseases. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. By his stripes I'm healed. He sent his word and healed him. Exodus 15, 26, you are the God that heals. And I went through it all. I said, I know that's the word. Why? That was my thing to grab onto. Well, what happened was that night was a releasing of the faith. I stepped into patience now. Well, it's interesting. I was full of faith. I believed it 100%. I didn't care what the doctor said. The doctors would tell me a report, and I would, you know, don't be a weirdo at times, you know. If you got to follow your heart and stuff, and I didn't sit there and tell them how wrong they are and stupid they are, and the words, you know. There's nothing wrong with testifying. Margaret, you said you testify to the doctor, but you do it in a way, you know, that's becoming and honorable. And I just chuckled in my head because the doctor said, man, you really did it to yourself. That was really dumb, you know. And I just sit there and say, no, God's bigger than my messes. God's bigger than my stupidity. I just tell myself in my head. And so I released my faith and went through that door, and I believed it 100%. Well, you know what? I got home after 2 weeks, ended up back in the emergency room, worse pain than I had before. And they didn't even know exactly what it was, and they found out, and they said, oh, that's just another fallout from this. That's one of the other things that you'll never be free from. I mean, I literally walked into the emergency room at Warren General Hospital and fell on the floor, passed out. I was in so much pain. So much pain. It was awful. Never felt pain like that before in my life. And then I got back from the hospital after that, and I started breaking out in these sweats at night where I would literally wake up and be in a pool of water in my bed, and the whole bed was soaking wet as if someone dumped a bucket on there, and my clothes were just, you could wring water. And that's not exaggerating. My body, from the time I released my faith, I was in a position, it got so much worse. I didn't start going, well, I guess God didn't hear me. I guess that's not for me. I guess the natural. No, I kept saying, Father, the word doesn't change. You don't change. You're still a healer. Just because the money gets worse, the kids get worse, the physical things get worse, his word doesn't change. And if you'll faint not and put this down and stand on the word and not let anything move you, you'll get to the end. So many people faint and get knocked off that thing. No, I didn't. I kept saying, Father, I don't care. I'm healed. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Healing's mine. Healing's mine. Healing's mine. And within about 3 months, every symptom left my body. Didn't happen overnight. I was in full faith. Didn't happen overnight. In fact, I got worse before it got better. But I didn't faint. And guess what? I reaped. Oh, wow. The word worked. Oh, the word worked. It'll work for you, too. Well, amen. Were you blessed tonight? I was blessed. I preach my own self happy, so I guess that's good enough. I mean, I'm going to drive home happy tonight. Praise God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. The word is my answer. Father, we worship you tonight and praise your holy name. We bless the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. Faith is our answer. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. The natural can testify, but the natural can't testify more than your word. Your word is truth, Father. You are God, the Bible says, that cannot lie. So if you said you'll meet all our needs, even though the natural says your needs ain't ever getting met, the word trumps those facts. Even though our bodies might tell us it's impossible and you face something incurable, the word says I'll heal all your diseases. The word trumps those facts. Even though it's been years and years of going around the same mountain and it looks like another year off, another calendar, another year gone by, it's never going to change. Your word trumps those natural facts. And we cooperate with you. That's all faith is agreeing with you. We cooperate with what you say. We don't care what the natural says. Caleb and Joshua didn't care what the natural said. All they cared about was that you said they could have it. Abraham didn't care that he was 100 and no 100-year-old men have babies and no 90-year-old women give birth. He didn't care. He didn't care that her womb was dead. All he cared was that you said it was possible. Your word trumped those facts. So, Father, we agree with you tonight. And, Lord, if we've got knocked off the faith train, we're going to get back on it. We're going to get back into that starting line. We're going to charge forth. And we're not going to let up. We're not going to dissolve. We're not going to change until we walk past that finish line and get our manifestation, Father. We are going to keep on it. We're going to keep the pedal down, push down all the way to the ground, going full force. And we thank you right now, Father. Whatever we're facing, we declare we're getting to the other side of that. We're not going to get there battered and beaten and torn and tattered and worn out. No, we're going to be better than ever before. Our arrival waits. It will not be as it's been before. Things are changing. Come on, get on board with this right now. Start saying, things are changing for me. Things are turning for me. From this place, things will not be as they've been before. Things are going to be different. Things are going to change. The money's coming. The healing's coming. The peace is coming. The turnaround for my marriage is coming. The turnaround for my family's coming. The turnaround for my kids is coming. The turnaround for my business is coming. The turnaround for my personal life, it's coming. It's coming. And I'm going to keep charging until I see it, until it comes to pass. I will not let up. Why? If we faint, we reap not. We will not be fainters. Glory to God. Hoo-wee. We praise you, Father. We magnify you. Now, if heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I'm pretty positive everyone in here is born again, accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But I don't know everybody that's listening online right now and listening in the future by the archive. So anybody that can hear the sound of my voice, whether you're in here or online right now or in the future when you listen to this, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I pose that question to myself in my mind, I know the answer is 100% yes, I'd go to heaven. And if your answer is, well, I think I would, or I hope so, but I'm not sure, or you could say, yeah, I'd go to heaven, but you don't have a solid reason, I want to help you. You say, Pastor, how can you be so sure that you're going to heaven? You think you're a know-it-all or something? I said, no, I just followed the rules, you know, followed the protocol to get there. Hallelujah. You know, if you go to Disney World, you can't have a Waldemar ticket to get in. They're not going to let you through the doors. You can't have a Midway ticket or, you know, Six Flags Great Adventure ticket to get into Disney World. No, you got to follow the rules. And thank you, Lord, for pointing out in the Bible how we can receive salvation. You've made it so simple. You didn't say anything about church attendance. You didn't say anything about being a good person, outweighing our bad deeds or our morality or our generosity. No. You said the litmus test and the measuring line is Jesus. You said that if we would believe on him, we would not perish but have everlasting life. You said from that belief, if we would call on his name, we'd be saved. You can't call his name until you believe. It's a two-part condition to get into heaven. Number one, you must believe in Jesus. Number two, you must receive him. So if you're listening right now and you say, Pastor, I thought I was a good person. I thought I went to church enough. I thought I believed in Jesus. Just be sure. Get off the fence of eternity. Get onto the right side. He's made it so simple. It's a free gift. If you can say deep down in your heart, I do believe in Jesus, that's the first qualification. The second qualification is just asking him, confessing him. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Just simply cry out to him like this and say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. I might not understand everything, but Jesus, in my heart of hearts, I believe you're real, and I ask you to come into my life. I call upon your name. If you'll do that, he'll be faithful to do his part. He'll come in. He'll be your Savior. He'll take away your sins. God will become a father to you. And he's got so many good things for you. The next step for you is to get planted in a Bible-teaching church. You might say, Pastor, I thought you said it didn't have anything to do with church attendance. Heaven doesn't. But if you're going to live victoriously here on the earth, you better plant yourself in a Bible-teaching church, because the Word says in Psalms 92:13, they that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. There's a lot of people in the world that are planted in a church that doesn't teach the Bible, doesn't have a pastor that follows the Holy Ghost to teach the Word, and their lives are hell on earth, yet they're children of God. Why is that? He said you'd flourish in life. You've got to plant in the right church. Find a pastor that will preach the Bible, that will not care what the people say and what the people think, that will stick with the Word like Jesus did. Jesus didn't care if people left him. He just preached truth. And start hearing the Word and start doing the Word and watch your life begin to change. Salvation is the first step, but then finding a church, planting in a church, being faithful, hear the Word, do the Word. Oh, that's when life gets good. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father. And if you did pray that for the first time and you're listening, shoot me an email or give me a phone call. Let me know. I got some stuff I want to get in your hands, help you out. But let's stand to our feet as we close tonight. How many of you could say you received something tonight? Well, I know this, that when Grandma cooked a good meal, I always thanked her for it. Well, God cooked us up a good meal tonight of the Word. So let's thank Him for what we received. Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God. And Lord, we say things are going to be different. We say from this place forward, change is ours. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We'll see you Tuesday night at 6. You are dismissed. Don't forget to get prayer cards.
So we search for you, Lord. We seek you.